Hey guys, so thanks for coming back. Good night. Thanks for being here. If it's your first time, man, we're glad you're here. If this is not your first time, we're glad you're here too. So just thanks for being here. We're doing this study. We're just calling it God and Everything Else. And just simplifying life down to just that, man, just being real minimalist here. You got two things. You got God and then you got everything else. And we're kind of building on this quote I read to you last week by this guy named A.W. Tozer. And he was a pastor back in the early 20th century. And he says this: we must not think of God as the highest in an ascending order of beings, starting with the single cell and going on up from the fish to the bird, to the animal, to man, to angel, to cherub, to God. For he, God is as high above an archangel as above a caterpillar. For the gulf that separates the archangel from the caterpillar is but finite. It means there's a measurable gap there. There's so many steps or so many degrees between the caterpillar and the angel. But the gulf between God and the archangel is infinite. So there's a gap you could cross between the archangel and the caterpillar. That's finite. They're together in the same category of things. But if you try to bridge the gap between God and the archangel, you can't bridge it. It's infinite. There are only two categories: things that are not God and God himself, right? That's the quote we're kind of feeding on. And I showed you last time that what we're doing is we're looking at this verse, very first verse in the Bible: in the beginning, God. And last week, I took you on this journey with my corny time machine sounds, little corny GIF that I did that by myself, by the way. I mean, I downloaded the sounds and the images and everything. And it was this phrase that says, in the beginning, God. And we looked at that little phrase, in the beginning. I tried to say, just imagine, right? You go back in time. You go to whatever, like the Civil War. You go before that. You go to the Revolutionary War before that. There's a lot of other wars in the country. Not our country, but all over the world. And I don't know what some of the other wars are. I'm not good at that stuff. But like there was like, right, the war of, there's like some wars in England, right, in France and stuff. I don't know. All kinds of wars taking place all over the world, all throughout history. But you go back in time, and you go back, and at some point in time, like you cross over from AD to BC, right? You go from like 100 AD down to zero, the year zero, and then you go back further, and you're 100 BC and 200 BC, and you go back, and you're like 2000 BC. You keep going back, and at some point in time, there's nothing else but God. Like there's a beginning to all the stuff. But there's no beginning to God. And we looked at that last week. Just talked about how there is only one true God, and he is eternal and infinite, and he is unchanging, and he's always been there. And he's the only God that can fill the emptiness of our hearts. And he's revealed himself to us in Jesus. So I just challenge you to put the true God at the center of your life. Here's what I want to do today. This will be very quick, right? We're just doing some real quick talks, and then we're going to small groups to kind of tease these out. But I want to think a little bit more about that, about God. So, I mean, we could spend the rest of forever, right? We could spend forever, literally, because all of eternity is about God. We could spend forever talking about God, but we're going to spend just a couple minutes. And we're talking about God. In the beginning, God. We looked at in the beginning last week. Let's think about God this time. This idea of God. Man, what can we say about him? Take a look at these verses. I'll just put these up here on the screen. Take a look at these. The first verse is from Genesis 1:1, right? We're looking at this. In the beginning, God. Talked about that already. But look at this next verse. This is actually the next verse in Genesis. Look at it. Read it as I read it. Huh? It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So in the beginning, there's God. And then it says here, at about that same time, there's the Spirit who's hovering over the waters. All right, then here's another verse. Look at this verse. This is John chapter 1. This is in the Gospel of John. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I show you these verses because here's what we see. We see in the beginning, hovering over waters, which is a way of saying in the beginning. In the beginning, you have God. In the beginning, you have the Spirit. In the beginning, you have the Word. There's these verses in the Bible that seem to tell us that God, the one true God, exists in three persons. The Spirit and the Word. Later on, John says the Word became flesh. He's talking about the Son of God here. So you have God the Father. That's what the Scripture teaches. We pray our Father. You have God the Father. You have God the Son. Here he's called the Word. And you have God the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that in the beginning, it wasn't just... There was one true God, but it wasn't he wasn't alone. There weren't other gods. It's not that there are three gods. There's one God who is so deep and so far and so far above us and so different and so distinct from us. And he's so unique and so glory and so glorious and so holy. He's so different that he can be one being but exist in three persons. He's that glorious. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Forever and ever. Before anything was created, there he was. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are little pieces throughout the Scripture, right? Little hints here and there, little clues throughout the Scripture of what that relationship was like. You ever wonder, like, what was it like when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there and there was nothing else? What was it like? So I put together just a little, a couple little slides here that illustrate a word that theologians have used. All right, here's a big word, perichoresis. Perichoresis. And that's a word that theologians have used to try and describe the interdependent oneness, the three persons, one God, in fellowship, in harmony, in peace, in joy with each other. Perichoresis. So here you go. All I did was just kind of show these three shapes, right? Just kind of moving around each other. And yet one, interesting, these three shapes kind of make a heart. What I'm trying to get at there is this quote that Tim Keller, he's a pastor in our denomination, he said it like this, trying to describe the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before there was anything else, what was it like? He says it like this, each of the divine persons voluntarily circles the other two, pouring love, delight, and adoration into them. Each person of the Trinity loves, adores, defers to, and rejoices in the others. That creates a dynamic, pulsating dance of joy and love. This dance. In fact, I told you the word perichoresis. You can hear kind of in the middle of that word choreography, right? They share a similar root. Choreography is this orchestration, this dance, this beautiful interrelation. And what Keller is getting at here is that in the beginning, God existed in three persons, and the three persons were loving each other, delighting in. In fact, when that John 1:1 says the Word was with God, the word with means face to face. Later on, John says that the Son was in the bosom of the Father. There's a loving relationship there, dynamic, pulsating dance of joy and love, adoring and praising and loving each other. In the beginning, God. That's the God who made everything. All right, so what? So what? Real quickly, we'll try to make this kind of practical. But I want to just mention a couple things. One of them is this. Do you know this? Do you know this? Man, I want to tell you this. Do you know this? That the God who brought all things into being is a God of love and happiness and joy, a dancing, praising God. I want you to think about how much you don't like to see leaders of our country fighting. You don't like to see the leader of our nation, politicians, you don't like to see them speaking cruel words and being mean and angry and using their power to hurt people. You hate to hear about those things. You hate to see, you hate to read about it. You hate to watch pictures, look at pictures of this angry-faced, screaming politician. You hate it. Why do you hate it so much? Because we don't want our leaders to be like that. Our God isn't like that. The one true God is happy. He's peaceful. He's at love and joy and peace with himself. He didn't make us to make himself happy. Before there was us, he was completely content. He doesn't need us, but he wants us because he made us. Our God is a happy God. The God who made all things is a happy God. But here's the other thing is there's this verse in 1 Peter that says, Christ Jesus suffered for sins so that he would bring us to God. And guys, here's what I want you to think about. Like, man, that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is completely inaccessible to us. We cannot get to him unless our sins are pardoned and the way is paved for us, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became a man, he became a man to take us by the hand, so to speak, and lead us into the presence and fellowship with God. This is eternal life, he said, that they would know God. To know him, to become like him, to be full of his joy, full of his peace. In the midst of suffering, yes, but one day all the suffering will be put away. Christ Jesus has come to forgive us of our sins, yes, but that's a means to bringing us into the presence of the one true God. Guys, do you trust Jesus? I mean, do you want to know God? You want to know the one who made you, who made everything? Do you want to take part in the joy and the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You want the fruit of the Spirit? You got to go to Jesus. He's great. God is great. In Christ, we find that God is more than useful. He's beautiful. He's so beautiful. Look to Jesus and know God. All right, let's pray, guys. Let me pray, then we'll go to small group.